Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
Good evening, my friends. Thank you for tuning in and spending some time with us. This is Darkness Radio Presents Holzer's Ghosts, The Haunting of Lambert Castle. That's right. We're traveling back in time to Season 1, Episode 6 of The Holzer Files, now seen on Discovery Plus, reruns sometimes on Travel Channel. And I guess from what I've understood, there's a repackaged version of the episodes called Cases Reopened, where little inserts have been put in. It was about a year ago in January that Shane, Cindy, and I sat down in Las Vegas, and we talked kind of like we do on this show. We would give little snippets of information behind the scenes of the episodes. And I guess those episodes are out there and available right now, so you can go check those out on Travel Channel, I guess is where they're airing them. Season 1, Season 2, available on Discovery Plus now, so make sure that you go check them out. We've got an interesting show. I know it's been a few weeks. Thank you for the patience. 2 weeks ago, we were supposed to do this episode, and one of my guests had emergency surgery, and we are wishing well for him. He is still recovering, so he will not be with us tonight. Our thoughts and prayers go out to Damian Bertrand, who is on the mend. Thank you so much, Damian, for being a part of this episode, for your candor and information. And we did do an episode of Darkness Radio where Damian came on to discuss this case. So that will be in our archives. You can go back if you follow Darkness Radio on Stitcher or any of the podcast tools out there and keep up with the stories. This is an interesting case. Lambert Castle. Who knew there was a castle in New Jersey, right? Paterson, New Jersey. This beautiful little castle exists. And it was certainly a surprise to me and the rest of my castmates to find out about this place. Now, like normal, we keep Cindy in the dark. I believe we were staying in New York somewhere proper, far away from the castle, and to keep her in the dark about what was going on. But we had very little to go on originally, because this was a case that Dr. Holzer was fascinated with but could never make it to, which is really bizarre considering he did live in New York. It was not that far of a drive for him, but something would always come up to derail him. I know one time he was going out there, heavy storms blew through, he turned back around. Another time he went out there, roads were closed and he couldn't get through. Another time there was a bad accident that had stopped him, and we see all these in his notes, but I shall get out there. That was always his thoughts. He would make it there one day. Sadly, he did not. But what brought this place to his world? Why did he want to check out Lambert Castle? Well, you're lucky, because we've got a guest with us. And this is, I think this is one of the only guests we've had that are able to visit with us that actually met with Dr. Holzer and talked with Dr. Holzer. And we've got some interesting insights into Dr. Holzer, his methodology and work, and a really unique insight into this story, because we're going to be joined by the experiencer who started having strange dreams about Lambert Castle long before she even knew it existed. And we'll find out more about her story. Ladies and gentlemen, help me welcome to the Darkness on the Edge of Town paranormal radio show, Barbara Davidi. Hello, Barbara.
Hello, Dave. How are you?
I'm doing really well. You know, before I jump in too far into your story, I wanted to tell people we had this really interesting synchronicity, this strange connection between you, Cindy, and myself and this case. And as Dr. Holzer said, there are no coincidences, right? There's always something to this. He was stopped and blocked and could not get to this case. We were able to get through this case. And while we were on set, we found out that, well, Cindy and I knew this, Cindy and I are both born on November 22nd. Barbara, you share our birthday.
Yes.
And if I remember correctly, like the township where Lambert Castle rests was settled on
Patterson.
Yeah, in on November 22nd as well. So was it the perfect aligning of numerology and opening for us to all come together? I don't know, but I thought it was a cool little aside to mention. But we were able to do and pull off an investigation that Dr. Holzer was not. Let's start with your story. I mean, what year do you remember beginning to have these dreams about Lambert Castle?
Well, it was in 1972. We had just signed a binder on a house in Nutley. And before I moved, I had my first dream. And then the rest were all after I moved to Nutley. Somehow, I think a move to Nutley may have triggered something. I'm not sure. But I would have, say, 3 to 5 of those dreams a year. And in some cases, I would wake up frightened, and always at 3:30 in the morning, roughly almost all the dreams were, and I thought I was going to outsmart them, so I stayed up. And of course, that didn't work out either.
Now talk to me about these dreams. When you would have them, were you, was this as though you were the television camera moving through the house, or were you watching it happen and seeing yourself as though you were watching a television with the story playing out in front of you?
Well, in one dream, I saw a lady who I imagined might have been me in another time. Mm-hmm. And I was on the second floor above the great room. And I had a crystal, rose-colored crystal luster in my hands. And I was so angry, and I was crying. And I threw this crystal luster down onto the floor, the marble floor of the great room. Another time, I was me. And I was in the basement making washing. And my sister and my brother-in-law walked in, and it was me. They were them. It wasn't someone from the past. Hmm. And as I started to walk up the stairs, I said, I'm going to go get the coffee pot. I'll make coffee. The sides of the walls at the sides of the stairs were compressing, and I just made it to the top of the stairs. And I reached for the light button. Now, I've always had a light switch.
Right.
This was a button, and I knew it was a button. There were heavy mohair furniture in the room upstairs and heavy drapes. It seemed that I had come from one time into another.
Now, Barbara, when you talk about these dreams, you know, in the world of paranormal phenomena, we talk about dream visitations where spirits make themselves known to us, and usually somebody, a loved one. And those dreams are much more vivid than any other dreams we ever had. Would you say that these Lambert Castle dreams would fit that realm where it was much more vivid, more realistic, like a memory, as opposed to this disjointed dreams that we normally have?
Yes. Yes. And it wasn't like any other dream. I hardly ever dreamt before. The only really impactful dreams I had were of the castle.
Very strange. And you started that in the 70s. It continued on. When did you finally reach out to Dr. Hans Holzer?
I think it was 91. Probably around 91, 93, somewhere in there. I had gone to a lecture in Montclair, and he was speaking. And after he had finished, I asked him, I talked to him about my dreams and how frustrating it was not to know why I was having these dreams. and why I felt such a connection there. And he asked me to write it all out for him. Mm-hmm. And to send, he gave me his card, and I sent it off within a week. And then he responded by saying that he thought I should have a regression, and that it was a case of clairvoyance and reincarnation.
And he was pretty set on that, just from the information that you were able to share with him, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Now, was that your only face-to-face meeting with Dr. Holzer?
Yes.
Well, for people that didn't get a chance to see Dr. Holzer live and hear his presentations, what was that like for you?
Oh, he was wonderful. I had been watching him for years. He was a premier ghost hunter. And he loved a phenomena wherever it was. And he'd go anywhere to investigate. And there were very few around at that time. Very difficult to discuss the subject with anyone because they looked at you like you were a little, off. And
which is interesting because even in the episode, you refer to yourself as a skeptic. But yet you're having these experiences, you're having these dreams, vivid dreams of a location you know nothing of.
Yeah.
And it was so impactful that it forced your hand to actually reach out to Dr. Holzer. Well, let's go from the 70s, so I think it was 1980. Tell me about this moment where you stumbled upon Lambert Castle.
Yeah, Joe, my husband, and I were out shopping one day looking for golf clubs. And he was so excited that he found what he wanted. Evidently, he missed the exit, and we ended up in Patterson, just where Lambert Castle and Patterson meet. Well, Montclair, that would be. And as we came off, got on the road, I said, "Oh, look, Joe, there's a museum here that I never even knew about. It's Lambert Castle. Do you want to go in?" He was never much for museums, but being he was happy that he got his clubs that day, he said, "Yeah, okay, let's go." And we went in, and I was kind of disappointed. There's a parking lot just above the castle area, and you walk down a couple of steps, and there's the entrance is there to the castle. It was dark, and there were no flowers, and it just seemed so bleak. Hmm. When I went inside, it was worse. It seemed that no one cared for the place back at that time in 1980. It was as if someone had sucked all the life out of that building. You felt nothing. Sterile. It really surprised me. And I said, "Gee, this isn't much of a museum." There was like a spoon collection in one of the rooms, and a rosewood piano in another room. And the dining room was so... The furniture was so heavy and dark and brittle that it really was a very ugly room. So I wasn't too interested, and you couldn't go to the second or third floor. Evidently, in my dream, I had seen an open room that went up two flights, mm-hmm. and there was a glass dome in the roof. But there was a ceiling there now over the great room.
Now, did you recognize this home, even though it was devoid of life and love and respect? Did you still recognize this place when you walked in that door?
No, not really. It wasn't until after I went outside where we had come in originally, there mm-hmm. was an arched way next to it. And we went through the arch and found ourselves on the veranda. And I was just taken aback because that was the veranda of my first dream.
Did it feel like time came together for you at that instant?
Yes. And then I knew this house had a significance for me. That was the beginning.
Did you talk to the staff about the house while you were visiting?
Yes, I did. This one, they didn't really have docents back then.
Right.
They just had volunteers. So this young man was there, and I was telling him about my dreams. He didn't laugh, so I said to him, because there were certain areas you couldn't go in as a visitor. I said, back there. I said, those are servant steps back there, aren't there? And I said, that ceiling doesn't belong in the great room, does it? And he said to me, no, the ceiling was put in 1940. Well, I was born after that.
Mm-hmm.
And I won't tell you how close, though. Then he said to me, he was intrigued. So he made me come in the back and showed me the servant steps. And he even took me to the second floor so I could see the dome, which the visitors really weren't allowed to go to the second floor. I think there were offices or something back there.
What was that like? I mean, the veranda's the key that snaps open for you, this realization. But then you point things out and he corroborates and takes you to each one of these locations.
Yes.
Barbara, what is that feeling like for you?
It was like opening a door to a secret place. I had to find out more. I even went into one of the Patterson libraries, and at that time the neighborhood was not so good. And I tried to get as much information as I could about the Lambert family. There were very little. It seems that he had told his son Walter upon his death to burn everything. I don't know why, but maybe he was just a secretive man, or maybe he had things to hide. Afterwards, after the episode, after we filmed, I met a young man who had volunteered there at the library, the museum years ago. And he said to me, would you like to go see the cemetery where they're buried? I said, yeah. So he took me to the cemetery. And I had discovered, do you remember during the regression, I was supposed to be Isabel, the daughter?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Well, hold on. Don't reveal something about that quite yet. We'll talk about the regression in a little bit. We'll tease people along on this because I want to keep them in there. But this is news to me, folks. Like I said, when you tune in, we're going to try to unveil things that you didn't know about the episode. And apparently I get to learn some stuff I didn't know about the episode, which makes this even more exciting. So you're getting the corroboration. You're feeling this sense. Are you thinking at this point that it's just precognition, meaning that it's like that sense of deja vu? That maybe you'd been there before, or did you feel like, no, this was my home, or I'm connected to this house in more than just a passing deja vu way?
Yeah, it felt more like somebody was drawing me there. I don't know who, but I felt like there was some sort of secret, and I was the key to it. And I the three birthdays and town Patterson. I've been thinking a lot about that since the episode. And if you remember, I don't know if I'm getting ahead of myself, But do you remember when you asked Isabella, "Are you here with your husband and your children?"
Yes. Yep. Yeah, I remember that.
And then you asked, "Are you here with your children?" And she cried, "No." I don't believe it was Isabella. That's the ghost.
That's all right. Well, we'll come back to that then. We'll find out what you think on that. Again, we got to keep throwing right. The butler did it to the end of this of this journey for us. But that's a great place to start. So we've got here you've got this woman, Barbara DeVitte, who in the 70s begins dreaming of this fantastic castle-like estate, only to find it and stumble upon it in 1981 and realize this isn't just a dream. This isn't her imagination. She has now walked through the doorway through time. She is in a home that she has known before. And this is a fascinating case because I got to tell you, when we first started reading some of the notes, immediately I'm like, oh yeah, this is reincarnation. Hans had this. Where are we going to go with this story? What's going on? What kind of activity is actually taking place here? Jennifer pops up and says, "This is my favorite episode." Thank you. Yeah, definitely one of my favorites as well, Jennifer. What could we possibly glean from this? What are we going to possibly learn that we didn't already know? And they started telling me, "Dave, we've got some natural people who've been in this home and have seen things, not just heard, not just thought that this place was familiar. They've seen things." And I loved it. I'm like, all right, let's unpack this crate and see what kind of high strangeness, you know, shows itself to us. So, of course, having a chance to sit down and meet with you was one thing. Then we were introduced to another guest. And our other guest is here with us this evening as well. April and Bousette. Am I saying that right? Bousette,
yes.
Okay, April Bousette, welcome to the show. Thanks for being here with us again tonight.
Hi, Barbara. Thank you for having me.
It's great. You know, so here we go. They've got us in that upstairs area because they wanted me to be able to look down at where you had seen something. So let's reel it back now and take me to your visit to Lambert Castle. When did this take place?
This happened, I can't remember, a few years ago. I had heard about the castle, but I got to tell you, before I went to the castle, I was having visions of the castle, but didn't realize it was this place until I got there. But when I got there, I started walking around outside and I heard crying from a woman.
While you were outside?
While I was outside. And,
okay.
And it sounded like she was crying over a loss, but I could hear her crying. So, you know, now I go inside and I'm upstairs where we are, where, you know, where we filmed. And I saw a woman in a white gown, you know, like gracefully glide across the floor because she's going to this well-dressed man. And when she gets to the man, he disappears.
Typical man.
Yeah, typical. Exactly. But she, you know, she looks distraught over this, like, you know, like looking around where he went, and then she just vanished in thin air. So it was crazy. But I also had visions of her, the lady in white, which I think I was seeing Isabella too.
Okay.
I think, like you said, like there's another woman, the blonde haired woman. I think I was also, I think Isabella was also like reaching out to me. So
it fascinating.
Yeah.
So when you see this, and as you describe it, they kind of meet, and then he just kind of dissolves. She's left there distraught. I mean, now you have medium abilities.
Yes.
Had you ever seen anything this clearly vivid to you before?
Yeah, before when I was younger, when I first started having visions, but this was crazy.
Now, did you think you were watching, you know, maybe like reenactors walking around until they began to vanish?
Not really. I feel like I go almost into like a trance-like state when I'm seeing all this, and I feel like I'm going back in time. So it's crazy. But I was very drawn to this place. This place draws you in. like Barbara. Like Barbara's story is so fascinating because I understand it. It draws you in. You're so drawn to it. I still drive up there. You know, actually, it's under renovation now, right, Barbara? We had spoken about that.
Yeah.
But I still drive up there. I just feel such a connection to this place. So somehow we must be all reincarnated in some way.
Look at this. You're the one of you is the illegitimate daughter. The other one could be the mother. The envelope is here. Maury Povich, come on in. Dave Schrader, you are the father. Not again. So this is fascinating. Now, I did promise we also give some behind the scenes stories that nobody gets to know about. We of course reenact that scene of the man and the woman meeting, right? And then the man fading away. The man fading away was one of our camera guys, or one of our production assistant guys, a mustachio, and our makeup girl was the beautiful Isabella, right? And so she was just such a sweetheart and was with us for I think all but two episodes in season one.
Emily,
she's such a sweetheart, and so she did that. Well, you know, shows are on a budget, so we go to thrift stores and buy old wedding dresses and old suits. And poor Mustachio was in that suit shooting that reenactment for a few hours, and it turns out the suit was infested with bed bugs.
Oh my gosh!
Yeah, he had to literally pack everything he had up, bag it up, burn it up, get it out. This poor guy was covered head to toe, from my understanding, in bed bug bites. Nobody on crew would go anywhere near him for the rest of the shoot. I felt so bad for Mustachio, but he was so cool about it, and he's like, "Yeah, whatever, it happens." So beware going into thrift shops; you may get some surprises of your own, but that was a fun little weird moment. All right. So now, April, help me remember. I have a memory, but I can't. So much has happened in two seasons of the show. But when you and I were talking, didn't something happen while we were there?
Yes.
What was it?
When I think this is what you're talking about. When the producer was walking me up the stairs, as we're turning the corner, there's a picture on that windowsill with the that stained glass window. And I grab him and I said, "Oh my God." He goes, "What's the matter?" I said, "That's the woman I saw." And he looks at me and goes, "That's Isabella Lambert, the daughter." So that's why I feel like a connection to her so much. I always feel like she's drawing me in. I still dream about her. I still feel drawn to that castle because.
All right, now hold on 1 second. Barbara's shaking her head. I need to know what's going on in your head, Barbara.
The stained glass window was a memorial to Lambert's daughter Florence,
the oldest one.
Oh, Florence. Okay,
the older one. Isabel. I think there was a wedding picture of her, but it was on the piano.
Gotcha. But you thought that looked like
in the bedroom as well.
Yeah, we did move some pictures because, again, when we walk Cindy around, we don't want her seeing. We couldn't do anything about the stained glass window, but we hide pictures or dip them so that she doesn't pick up or see something, and that, you know, nobody can be like, "Oh, well, of course she saw a bride. There's a picture of a bride right there on the piano," right? So we try to remove that.
That's why I think, well, that was her picture, the producer, because I think they were moving stuff around.
Could be, right.
That was originally there.
Yeah, that was Isabel, the daughter, in the picture.
Yes.
Yeah.
Now, while we're there and doing this baseline investigation, there was a lot of strange activity. Footsteps could be heard throughout the castle. I was in the hub watching, listening, and I could hear all of this going on. It was just really strange to, you know, and Shane, of course, is seeing it. When we did the full investigation, then while we're talking, Cindy keeps talking about feeling like she's being blocked, like she's being blinded and not able to see, which throws me back to the interview we did with you, Barbara, because you said that twice during your dreams, you would be starting to see something unfold, and then it was like as if somebody took away your vision.
Well, the one where I was walking up the stairs to get the coffee pot and the walls compressed around me, and as I got to the top of the stairs, I went blind. And that's why I was looking for the button to turn the light on.
Okay. And
flying that time. And then later on in the dream, I was driving in a black sports car. And I was I was on the highway, and I could see Lambert Castle off in the distance. And I went blind while I was driving.
Thankfully, that was just a dream and not reality. That would have been... We'd be hunting your ghost at the Lambert Castle as well, Barbara.
Right.
And by the way, I don't know if you guys saw the contract, but we do get to hunt you down at one point after your crossing over. It's part of the Holzer Files Generation 3.
And I'll have all the answers.
That's right. All right. So you guys are seeing all of this. Now, Barbara, you're skeptical, but you have had your own experiences. Was it the concept of reincarnation really in your head at this point, or were you still mystified as to what your real connection with this location was?
Yeah, it was. It wasn't one thing or another.
Mm-hmm.
I was a spectator at some point. I felt I was somebody who was of another time. Another time, I was who I am today, you know.
Right.
It was very weird. I kept stepping in and out of time.
Well, April, as a medium, what does this say to you? I mean, why is she kind of bilocating as a past life and her current life? Is it because these two stories overlap in the same book, so she's able to kind of traverse the pages?
I think she's connected to this castle. Somehow. Well, definitely we know she's connected.
Right.
Somehow. I don't think she's one of the main characters, but somehow I feel like you're related to this family. It's crazy. I know, like, for me, for the visions I was seeing, I'm just an outsider, because I know they were kept trying to tell me, because usually that's what spirit does to me. They're always trying to tell me their story. That's why I felt that connection with Isabel. And the mother too. When I was outside and I heard the crying. Now, I do remote viewing, and I think Cindy does that also.
Mm-hmm.
I actually, when I was outside, all of a sudden, I was in the room, in this bedroom, with Mrs. Lambert. And now I'm looking at this woman with dark hair. She had her hair pulled back. She had a black dress on, white collar, and she's looking down. And I'm standing in front of her, and she looks up at me, and she goes, "I'm not who they think I am."
Right.
Now, what does that mean to you? I mean, as a medium, how do you sort through that? And you got to be like, I need more information. You know,
exactly.
I mean, how do you get that?
Well, I got to tell you, I was a little frightened, you know, because I still get scared, because, you know, I didn't expect this to happen while I was there. I got through. It was like a whirlwind. All of a sudden, I'm like in and out of like different states. Like, you know, I'm in the castle, but I'm outside. I'm seeing Isabella. I'm seeing the mother. So, It's crazy. I just feel like there's a story to be told in this place, and I believe there's more information.
Now, I do want to tell viewers, they always want to know if any of what they see has been faked. And I'm going to admit, for the first time, there was something faked on this episode. When you see April and I upstairs, she is standing on an apple box and I'm standing with my legs spread so that we could be more in line for the camera to shoot. So we were faking her height and mine at the same time.
I am like 2 feet tall.
Yes. I just remember when they first had me in there, and I'm standing there, literally this was her view, right? Because I'm way up here, and this is what I look like to her, right? I'm just... I had to look down. They're like,
I gotta tell you, I was so intimidated by you, because you're so serious on set, and yeah, right. And he, you know, and he's joking around in between, you know, the interview and everything. And then he's looking at me, he goes, "Don't laugh." And I'm like, I'm scared of him. Like you're scared of your teacher. He's like, "Don't laugh."
You have to, you know, and that's a great insight for people. I have to tell witnesses sometimes, as we're about to film, don't laugh, because it takes a while. And you notice that we have you tell the stories two or three times, because, and it's not trying to get you to nuance the story or tell it better. It's when you're nervous, you tend to, and I saw this floating head with eyes flaming, and it scared the shit out of me. Right. And you're like, you don't look frightened at all. You look like you're like, I saw a floating head. Right? So I had to keep de-escalating. And I knew you, because when we first stood there and they're getting us all set up and I'm looking down at you, you're like, you're kind of scary. You're big. You're kind of ominous. And I'm like, don't worry. We're going to have fun with this. Just, you know, I just, and I have to be in the mindset during that time because I'm trying to remember this entire story, what I've talked to the other employees and Barbara about and Cindy and Shane and all of this. So I'm focused, hyper-focused when I'm in the interview process. And yeah, we'll cut loose and have a little bit of fun. But I, as a joke, I wanted to throw out the fact that, yes, we faked height. We faked your height on that show. So you were actually a little smaller than that. But it was a great interview we had with you. Now, we do have to take a quick break. We're going to come back. We've got more to discuss, more about the haunting of Lambert Castle. For those of you with nothing to do this weekend and you're near the Ohio area, come on out and see me. Mansfield Reformatory, the Ohio State Reformatory, has a big ParapsyCon that's taking place. So if you just look up Mansfield Reformatory on Google, you'll be able to see the link for it. Go in there, check out their calendar. It's this weekend, and it's great. It's really inexpensive. The Ghost Brothers, Dalen, Marcus, and Juwan will be there. Adam Berry and Amy Bruni from Kindred Spirits will be there. Ben Hansen will be there. I'll be there. We'll all be on hand for the weekend, signing autographs, hanging out, doing talks, lectures. There's ghost hunts and ghost tours. And I think the cost to get in is like very minimal, like $25-$30 to do the tour, and that gets you in to the conference as well. So if you're interested, folks, come on out and see me. And if you'd like to know where else you can see me this season and where else you can visit, Tim is going to be out with me at a couple locations. Shane is going to be out with me at a couple of locations. Both of my work wives are meeting. Tim and Shane are going to be in 2 weeks at Gettysburg. So we're going to be hanging out there together. If you would like more information on where you can see me and meet the cast of Holzer Files and Darkness Radio, check out darknessevents.com. That's darknessevents.com. And April is going to be at a couple of the conferences this year as well. Are you New Jersey and Texas? Is that where you're going to be this year?
Texas Paracon.
Okay. We're going to be in New Jersey. How are you not at the New Jersey Paracon?
I usually always do that every year. Just a conflict of timing. I was supposed to do something else, but that fell through. But
you're now just jealous. You can't handle seeing me and Shane together. You know it.
Oh, wait. Don't worry. I'm going to be there, though.
That's right. All right. We're going to take a break. We'll come back. We've got a lot more to discuss. You're listening to the best in paranormal talk radio. This is Darkness Radio.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care. Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
Welcome back to the program. This is Darkness Radio Presents Holzer's Ghosts, the haunting of Lambert Castle in Paterson, New Jersey. Folks, get a chance if you can to go out and see this amazing location. I would love to do a paranormal conference there. As a matter of fact, I talked to the people at the point. Hopefully when they get everything up and running and the renovations in place, we'll get out there. You can visit Lambert Castle at lambertcastle.org. Find out when they're going to be open again. You know, ladies, when you start doing restoration to haunted locations, a lot of times that's known to stir up some stuff. Yep. So I'm curious, since both of you have been tied to this location through dreams, since the close down and the lack of lifeblood being pumped into Lambert Castle, has it been reaching out to either one of you through your dreams again?
No, there's too many people there.
Yeah. I'm not having the dreams anymore, but I find myself driving up there now all the time. And bringing my daughter up there, but I don't tell her why we're going. but I drive past it. This also, do you know, like they owned all that, this like that whole property there, but they made it into a park. So I go, I take my daughter there through the park. It's beautiful.
Crazy. Yeah. Well, a lot of that area, they just parcel off. Hey, next week, Legends and Lies, The Ghosts of Oceanborne Mary, season one, episode 7. That's our talk. Shane Pittman will be here with me. We're working on a couple other guests to be a part of that. So I hope that you'll tune in. That was, again, one of our favorite episodes from season one. What a twisty, turny, crazy ass story, Oceanborne Mary. And I want to tell everybody, we're working on another cool episode. You know, a few weeks ago, we did Holzer's Ghosts, Amityville. And that's because we were never able to get to Amityville, but it was an important case for Dr. Holzer. Well, we're going to be doing another one of those. Our good friend, the psychic attorney, the psychic lawyer, Mark Anthony, is joining me. We're going to dig into the curious life of Bishop Pike. And this is an amazing story. If you are not familiar with Bishop Pike, this was a, I think Hans wrote two books on this. He was friends with Bishop Pike. Bishop Pike, a religious leader who turned to mediums to try to help him connect with his dead son. And he began turning more into the spiritual as opposed to just being a spiritual leader. He started to look into the spiritual, which really upset the Catholic Church at the time. And he lived a very enriching and bizarre life and died in a very strange set of circumstances as well. So we're going to talk about that. We're going to do that. I think it's June 10th. So you're going to want to be back here. We'll do a couple more episodes of Holzer's Ghosts. And then I think the first week in June, we may not have an episode of Holzer's Ghosts because I will be in Phenomenology in Gettysburg. So, yep, you guys can come on out to that event as well. Gettysburg, all that information at darknessevents.com. Let's get back.
I was supposed to do that one too.
You're just such a tease, April. I see how you are.
Well, can I just say something?
Sure.
I recently had a dream of Amityville.
Did you really?
It scared the shit out of me.
And tell us about the dream.
I dreamt I was investigating, because I'm a paranormal investigator too, but I was there with my husband, who has nothing to do with any of this, but my husband's there. I'm in a bedroom in the home, and I'm in this like pink room, pink salmon room with flowers on the wall, and all of a sudden this shadow, big shadow figure appears on the wall, and it rushes me, like goes at me, and I wake up out of the dream. So I just got to, I've never seen that documentary with the Warrens about it. So I said, I have to watch this. One of the psychics, the original psychics there, had the same thing happen to her. Not the dream. She actually was there. And
the thing rush her, right?
Rush her. And yep. When I saw that, I said, oh, my God. Now I'm drawn to Amityville.
Well, you guys aren't alone. I have had a dream about Lambert Castle, but I was the woman in white dancing in the Great Hall. So I felt pretty. What can I say? Oh, so pretty. I felt pretty and witty and light. It was the way I lived.
So,
yeah, thank you. Now, let's make it a little somber again as we talk about Lambert Castle, Catalina and his wife, Isabel. There was a lot of tragedy in that family. 8 children, 7 of which died before Catalina, many of them in their youth. Clifford was, I think, 1 year and 5 months old when he passed away. And I'll tell you, it was tough because, again, I've got 8 children. When they tell me that 8 children, I can immediately feel this connection to Catalina. Obviously, neither one of us know about protection. Secondly, then they tell me Clifford is one of the kids. Clifford was my first son, is my first son. But then he passed away at 1.5. And then there were daughters and this and then all these children passed away. And it's so tragic. And there's that fireplace mantle that's got the 7 little cherubs that represented the children that he lost. And that was very heartbreaking for all of us to be there and hear that story. Yeah. Uh-oh, Barbara. Barbara, are you about to blow the lid off of this?
Yeah.
You are our Geraldo Rivera. Let's see what you've got. Yeah, go ahead.
Please. He did enough with Wildwood or whatever that place was.
Yeah. So what's going on?
The 7 cherubs had to be just the arts, cherubs of the arts, because Isabel, the daughter, was still alive in 19, I think she died in 1906.
Right. No, Isabel died in 1901.
That was Isabella.
Oh, Isabella. But okay. Oh, that's right. Right. Okay.
The house wasn't finished till 1893.
Mm-hmm.
Isabel, the daughter, lived to 1906. So only six of the children had died when that thing was, fresco was put into the fireplace during construction. And there were only six children that had died.
Now, here's something, though. I'm going to throw at you, Barbara. Okay. Barbara David blowing the lid off of this story. Six of the children are facing us. One has their back turned. The seventh child, who had not yet died. Good day, Barbara.
Oh,
I don't know. I just thought of that.
He wouldn't be anticipating his child's death.
Right. Well, no, not that. But I just wondered.
There's no coincidences with this story.
Right.
Oh, I got a lot more.
Oh, she's got a lot more
knowledge.
I know. We've uncorked the genie, and there's no putting her back in the bottle.
Once I get rolling,
let's talk about now. Again, we get a lot of this information from docents, historians, people. When we were there, they told us we believe that this is what it represented. That's what the historians, the household. I love that you can bring a different perspective of this.
Yeah, I think it's one of those lovely stories that endears you to a place.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's a nice little myth to make the place more attractive to visitors.
And that's been the big problem for Hans Holzer, right? Dr. Holzer in his day could only go off of what he was told by the historians. And historians often had a story to tell because they wanted people to come.
Yeah.
And he had to be very cautious. Oceanborn Mary's story next week is one of those. And he was not always quick to punch the card. As a matter of fact, he never fully claimed Lambert Castle is haunted. He thought you were the key element. And it was interesting. You were the part that fascinated him. Much more so than the castle, and which I think is why he did not push as hard as he normally would to get to the castle. I think he was more fascinated in Barbara Davidi and your haunting and your story of reincarnation or possible reincarnation.
Well, you know what, Dave? I got to tell you, that's what I love about the Holzer Files so much, is because you have a psychic on there to bring light to it. Because I've been on investigations and cases where they're not going to feel anything. But as a medium, I can tell you the story. But when the medium comes in, it makes the place active.
Mm-hmm.
We're kind of like the light switch for the place.
Right. Well, yes and no. There have been occasions, both this episode and the next episode, where Cindy was blocked out, and Shane and I, now when Shane and I are in that main investigation, we're hearing voices, we hear crying, we hear footsteps running around that second floor. Yes. Cindy's like, I'm not hearing this. What are you guys talking about? And we're like, how can you, this isn't psychic impressions. We're hearing this. Mm-hmm. And she was like, she was just shut down. And that really, she was agitated. And she asked us afterwards, and I remember her going, are you guys screwing around just trying to have activity on the show? I'm like, no, listen to the recording. And they didn't show it. I wish they would have showed it and seen. I guess it's not real compelling when you hear us listening to the EVP.
I heard the crying. Right.
But there was a scene when we stopped and listened to the EVP, and you could hear the as though somebody was running around. And from that vantage point, you can see. So there was none of our production crew running around that place. You know, there was no way for anybody to be faking that. It sounded like somebody was running up around us, and then we would hear, you'd hear like it was right above you and up, or you would hear it right around the corner, and we'd go around the corner and look.
That's
so there was a lot of footage of us just walking around going, because we could hear voices everywhere. It was crazy.
Well, you know, it's funny because you heard the crying, like Cindy, you heard the crying from that room, that bedroom. I was outside when I heard that, and it was that room that I was in. But you know, there's something else I didn't say. When we finished our interview and you walked away, and I'm like, Dave, don't leave me. We didn't get a picture together. But all the crew is following you. All of a sudden, to the left, where Cindy had seen that man, A man came out, and I thought it was another crew member, but he was in like an old time suit, and he kind of like came in and faded back.
Was he scratching? It might have been mustachio in his bed bugs.
It was mustachio. But I'm like, you know what? I'm so done with this place.
Yeah. All right. So now there is a lot of death. We do know that. They've, you know, a lot of tragedy befalls his family. His wife, Isabella, dies in 1901. His second wife dies somewhere. Was it, Barbara, around 1919? Wow. I thought they said it was before the 20s, right?
12. I think it was 1912.
Yeah.
She married him in 1903, I think. And she died. She was married to him about 12 years, something like that. And that was never done back then because a sister-in-law was considered a sister.
Mm. Right. Well, you know, it's interesting, though, because you do see, I mean, I've known people in my own life that ended up marrying each other's spouse, thing, you know, because sometimes it's like familiarity, right? You know it. And you wonder at that point, you know, here was this woman left without a husband. Was she kind of destitute? Was he in need of somebody to help him running this home and everything? It was an interesting aspect to the story that left us all kind of like, oh, it is weird though, right? I mean, you want to think about it and you're like,
do that.
Yeah.
Maybe it was a late legitimization of their child.
Love child. Yeah. Very well could be, Barbara DeVied, the love child. All right. Well, let's see. Now, this is cool. So Damien Bertrand he's been on television before as a hypnotist, and he's not an entertainment hypnotist, although he can do that, but he takes it very seriously, and he works to help people. As a matter of fact, I talked to him on set about trying to help me deal with my fear of death and some other issues that I'd had, and he's been just such a sweet guy working with us on this. And before we did this, I said, what's your number one fear about doing this? And he goes, that I'm talking to some loon who's going to immediately become the belle of the house, right? Miss Scarlet. Oh, fiddle-dee-dee, this is my house and I am Mrs. You know, and he's like, that's when I'm afraid that kind of, that's when the red flags go off. And I go, what do we do in that instance? He goes, well, then I think, you know, and sometimes in those cases, you got to throw the baby out with the bathwater. It's like, so we were all sitting there. Now, I want everybody to know how this was. You were in that sitting room laying on that little settee or whatever they call it, and he was in the chair. Uh-huh. Everybody had to go outside. So we're all outside. Not only was it that we had to go outside, but we had to all lock ourselves in cars. They had it so we could hear through the headphones, the cast, so we knew what was going on. We're listening. We couldn't see anything. But we're listening as he's walking you through this. And then he brings you back. And I want people to know, they show that whole regression in about 3 minutes on the episode. That went on for a couple of hours. And you started, and we're all just, I remember we're all sitting in the car, and I'm like, God, please don't let this woman be crazy. Don't let her be crazy. Where is this going to go? And then you're like, yes, it is 1784, and I am Brunhilde. And I'm like, oh, Brunhilde, that's a crazy we weren't expecting. But that you gave us this woman's story, which was crazy and awesome. Then you tap into the second one. We're like, all right, maybe she's just, you know, priming. And then you go into the little boy's life. And again, she gave so much information, folks, that literally we could have done an hour documentary on Barbara DeVied and her past lives. She gave
us a lot more than I remember.
Right.
Being on the show.
Yeah. 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 Oh, there was a lot. And then he's like, all right, now he knew he needed to direct you. So that's why he took, now you're walking through the field, you're this. Yeah. And he says, and this was important for him. He's like, we as the hypnotist, we need to lead them to a door without telling them what the door is. They have to have their own experience. And when you crack that door and you start to hear and you start to connect, and Bella and Boston and this, we are all like, oh, wow, we're watching. This is a real thing. And what's great, and I will tell you, sometimes technology lets us down, because when you were connecting and going through this and you said, it's my mother or she's my mother, Damien stops and turns around and he's got to keep composure. We all heard it come through our headphones. We heard this woman's voice go, no. And the recording was really good, but it doesn't play on TV. It is so irritating. Just like the other EVP that we captured of the crying on TV sounds more like a breath, almost like a... It was when we were standing there, Barbara, in the spot where April and I had been standing earlier talking about this. I kid you not, this is how loud it was in that great hall. And nobody can make a noise while we're talking. It has to, you all both know that from being on set. Everybody's silent. Yeah. The only people are talking are the cast. And all of a sudden, and it was great because Rob, our director and camera guys, underneath the he's standing there filming us, but he's underneath the deck of the upstairs filming us straight on. And all of a sudden we hear the, and we all stopped and Rob's doing this. And all of a sudden he comes around the camera and he goes and starts shooting up. And just the pure look of terror in his face. I just look right now, every hair left on my body, all on my arm, just stood straight up. It was so weird. That's called direct voice phenomena. It wasn't just recorded. We heard this voice. So that was the only time that technology really bummed me out because the audio was not as clear. And sometimes I don't understand in editing. I know they've got to try to cram a whole story together and they have to take some things out. Shane and I had that conversation in that drawing room and we were getting a lot of responses from the Shackek, the spirit box. We got a lot more than you heard on the show. And it was, there were a couple of times it was really chilling to both of us to hear these voices coming out. But once we turn it in, they all have it and they cut it. But I think what it gets down to is we got the idea. You could hear the responses.
Yes.
They didn't need 15 minutes of Shane and I going, oh. Right? And, oh, what was that? Oh, oh, oh. Right? So we just, they played out what they had to play out. It was really cool. It was really an interesting moment. But now, when you get to watch this episode back, Barbara, and you see your story play out and you see this regression take place, did that open anything for you to more of Brunhilde's life or this little boy?
No. No, I didn't go there.
I didn't know if that would like curiously trip a trigger, maybe because you're not close enough to where they lived or died to have that same sense of...
This has more urgency to it.
Right.
Lambert Castle. Mm-hmm. Right. There's something secret. Like a weed that breaks the concrete and comes up and you have a tree growing?
Right.
That's what I believe the truth is. The truth can't be hidden for very long.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it may be a long time, but eventually... It will break through concrete if it needs to be.
Right. Needs to be heard. Needs to be found.
And something has to be settled.
Well, I think we need to go back there.
I do, too.
Yeah.
And I think you and us three with the birthdays and maybe Damien just to keep us sane, you know.
Because I can't stop being drawn to this place.
We could do a seance or something.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I know we're hoping if we hear on more seasons, I know we have so many cases that we probably won't revisit them for a while, but there are a few key cases like Lambert Castle. That's why we left it open at the end. We're like, we think there's a lot more story to be told.
There is.
We'll be back for that. So no spoilers, ladies. Don't let them know any of the other bits. If they want to know, they got to get Discovery Plus. Yeah, you heard me. Get Discovery Plus.
I love Discovery Plus. I'm getting rid of Fios. I hate saying this. I'm keeping it. But, and I love Discovery.
Netflix.
Nice.
Yeah. Discovery.
Yeah.
I like it.
Yeah.
Now, folks, if you have any questions, I will keep an eye on the comments now. I know we didn't pay attention to it for a while because we're having this conversation. Yeah, really, if you have any questions for my guests, Barbara Davidi or April, you can feel free to throw them my way. I do want to make a mention. April is a very talented medium and intuitive. You can visit her website, intuitiveapril.com. It's right there on the screen for those of you that can read. For those of you listening into the podcast form, it is www.intuitiveapril.com. There's a link for Intuitive April on today's program guide, so you'll be able to find it and find her as well. And you do readings, correct? So you'll do readings to try to connect people?
Yes.
I have a quick question for you. April, being a medium, when you meet somebody like Barbara who has a connection to a place like this, do you ever see the visage of the ghost of who she was? You know, do you ever see that hovering around the face of the people when you meet them?
Not all the time, but I felt so drawn to Barbara. Now, we didn't meet on set, but I was so drawn to her, and I had to meet her.
I was, yeah, too, and I'd like to take this moment to say, Barbara DeVitte, will you marry me?
I knew it.
That's
right. Bridesmaid. You're going to be the lady in white.
And I'll be the guy that vanishes as soon as we get in the Great Hall. All right, let's see this. Oh, thank you, Cheryl. That's very nice. Cheryl pops on and says, I love all this talk of the paranormal. Dave, we love you. Well, thank you. I love that. Oh, look at this plug coming in as well. Christine says, love Discovery Plus. Yes. Let's see. Great show and informative. Thank you very much for that. These are more great statements. Let me see. Barbara, there's a question from Kevin Studebaker. Barbara, have you had any other past lives? Well, we talk about that in the show, that you were Brunhilde, you were a little boy. Do you have any interest in going back to learn more about those? Or do you feel like they're not making themselves known to you without digging, so leave them alone?
Damien comes back.
Mm-hmm.
We need Damien.
Okay, hold on here. I'm being called out. Susan Estelle Cronow says Barbara was going to tell us something about the regression.
I was. Let's see. I believe that the crier is not Isabella.
Okay.
Or her daughter Isabel. I believe it's Harriet.
The second wife?
The second wife.
Okay.
And when you said, are you with your children? When she cried, no. I think that was the reason. I don't know whether it ever came to pass that Isabel knew that Harriet was her mother or not. But Harriet wasn't a very nice person.
Yes.
Well,
I think she had a lot of regret. And I think she resented the fact that Isabella raised her daughter. And there had to be a big hush-hush secret about it.
Right.
And she never got to love her.
Well, I'll tell you, I know I'm connected to the mother and to Isabella.
No, are you answering this next mother question? Is that what you're saying? Because Janice Fritch asks, Barbara, have you ever researched your family tree to see if there is a family connection to Kathalina or his wife?
Yes, it's none.
None. Okay. And what were you saying? Now, you feel that there's a connection. You mean spiritual connection?
I have a connection with Isabella and the mother. And okay. Barbara has the other side of it. It's weird because we're being drawn there by different spirits, but to try and get all their stories told.
Mm-hmm. Right.
There's so many stories. There's so many pieces to this. It's crazy. Yeah.
Sandy Wolf Litt asks, I have a question. When you, when you're a medium, how do things come to you? Is it just a little voice? Do you just see it? What can you explain to us about that?
I do hear voices that you won't hear. I see it as a movie. And I also get images, where I have to, it's like putting a puzzle together sometimes. I have to piece these images together that they're showing me.
Deborah Lavin says, Dave, will you ever have a past life hypnotic regression?
Ooh, I love that.
I'd like to get in touch with my hair from the past and see if I can bring it to the future with me. I'm totally down for it. And that's what one thing that we planned on doing. And then this pandemic hit and travel was very limited. So Damien, we're hoping he gets better soon. I would love sometime in 2021 or 2022 to get out. And Damien has agreed to do it and film it so that we can have it. And I'll make it available for only $39.99 pay-per-view. No, I'll only do $29.99. I like you people. Yeah, you would too.
Because don't you think there's a connection with you too, Dave, and Cindy to this place? There's coincidences.
Barbara Davidi, she's our connection to this place.
Yes.
Yeah.
11/22/67 for me.
67/40.
Mm-hmm. 40. Mm-hmm. I love that year. Gabrielle asks, Barbara, do you have any artifacts from the Lambert House? And if so, do you feel connected to them in any way? So I guess what she's asking, have you ever stolen anything?
No.
What do they think of people in New Jersey? Apparently The Sopranos has reached out.
And I have some very early brochures from the place when it first started being a museum.
Mm-hmm.
That's all right. I don't really have anything. I do love antiques, though.
Have you ever gone in and touched any of the items to see if you get kind of that medium, you know, fluttering of the eyes and flashes?
No, but I'll tell you about a dream I had. It was during a renovate. Well, actually, I didn't know they were renovating the place at the time. I think it was in the 90s. But I had this dream of two underground storage areas that faced one another just below where that circular part is, near the entrance, but further down on towards the lawn. They were facing each other, and they had about 10 feet between them. And it looked like a place where maybe the gardener would store his utensils, maybe hay or whatever they used. And in there, I found two statues. And I lifted one up, and my deceased aunt, she died when I was about 5, she said, I've come to tell you what you want to know. I got frightened, and I said, no, don't tell me, and I woke up. Well, I go to the castle this one time, and the renovator, you know, they were just painting that orange and green and everything that we saw there. And I'm telling him about the dream. And he said to me, have you gone outside yet? I said, no, I haven't. He said, well, go downstairs, go through the little archway, go towards the veranda and look over. Well, you could have knocked me over with a feather. There were the two underground storage areas. They had been excavating. They didn't know they were there.
That's crazy.
The original doors were still on. They were kind of, you know, broken up a little bit. But there they were facing one another. And he says to me, oh, by the way, we found two statues in there. And they are now in the great room. The small statue of Venus and Apollo. That was in there.
That's crazy.
That is awesome. What a crazy story.
This place is crazy.
Yep. Hey, folks, go order Barbara's book, The Undoing of Walter Woodsworth. You can get it on Amazon. We'll put up a link for it on today's program guide. And explain this book to us a little bit.
Well,
this is your story, but in a novelization form to try to fulfill the entire tale, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It contains a lot of the dreams that I had. And being that I could never find an answer as to why I had the dreams for 22 years, I decided to fictionalize an ending. So it wouldn't
end this for yourself.
Be in my head all the time. How am I going to find this out? How am I going to find that? I just wanted it to end. So I created a fictional family. And in the end, after the regression, I realized that my fictional story was very much like the truth we uncovered with Damien.
And I really love the fact that you add the brilliant and handsome bald detective investigator in the end of that book. Clouseau, exactly. Does your dog bite? That is not my dog. Let's see. There was a question here. Monica says, what saint didn't Barbara say? I don't understand the question.
I don't understand that either.
Were you talking about one of the saints? There were two saints or something, and then...
Oh, no, there were two statues, of one of Apollo and one of Venus.
Yeah.
Okay. All right, here's a question. Emma Jean Noe says, I have a question for April. Do you think a spirit can stay with a person throughout their life?
Yes, if you choose to let it stay with you. I've had that happen to me quite a few times. And one of them is Lambert Castle. I can't let this go. I've had my own spirits that I deal with. And it's in and out, because the spirit can't stay with you constantly, because it'll make you ill, physically ill. But yes, they can. And
do you ever have a hard time when you're at a public place doing readings, April, where you're trying to connect with my family members? And, you know, because there are so many people there, you've got Zach's Uncle Larry coming over going, hey, when's it my turn?
Yeah.
You know, I mean, do you ever get that stuff that happens, or
is that? I've had it happen, and I tell them to, you know, step back. But I will, when I'm reading somebody, and I have to bring others, they're going there because they want to talk to Bob. Mm-hmm. But Julie's coming through first. And they're getting mad. I don't want to talk to Julie, because I had this happen. The woman's like, I don't want to talk to her. I don't want to talk to her. I want to talk to Bob. And I said, well, Bob doesn't want to talk yet.
They have Dave's to not here, man.
You have to let the others speak first. They have to get their story out, say something. And then, you know, that person will come through. Not all the time. You know, if they want to contact a certain loved one, they usually will come forward first. But sometimes the others have something to say first.
John Hawkins asks, you say you dream of past lives. What makes you realize it's a memory and not just a dream? We kind of covered that in the beginning, Barbara. I think you were saying that it was, you don't dream much, but these dreams that you have of Lambert Castle and of the ghosts and the stories in your past life are much more vivid and much more detailed, like a real memory, as opposed to a fleeting dream. Is that a fair assessment?
Yes. I don't have... dreams of past lives. I have a dream of just a past life, maybe in the castle. That
gotcha.
One castle, Lambert Castle. I don't have another place that I go off to in my dreams, not at all. And
I never dream either. If I have a dream about something, it means something. But I never dream.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mark G says, does every spirit have the conscious choice to go where it wants to, or to go to who it wants to go to, or can there be limits of some kind?
There's no limits. They can go wherever they want. They have the ability to do that. It's whether, you know, if they're going to visit with a certain person, if that person's open to it. But
all right,
they can go anywhere.
Here's a tough question. I'm going to bring it up anyway. Donna says, how can you know a medium is for real? I'm a Christian and wouldn't want a negative entity instead, because that person isn't truly doing the right things. First of all, I'm going to give my thought on this. And then, ladies, if you want to weigh in on it, Donna, having done Darkness Radio now for 15 years, the best in paranormal talk radio you can hear three times a week, plus our True Crime Tuesday podcast. But I digress. I've talked to a lot of mediums, and I've talked to a lot of people who I think are not talented spirit speakers, but are really good at psychology and can help people. But I think the difference you're going to see, Donna, is that when a message comes through, it's not like, Donna, I'm picking up an older gentleman to your left, which to me means it's from your mother's side. So it's possibly her father. Does this make sense? Yes, it does. Okay. He said you should kill your husband. That's a good sign that it's not a good ghost or with good intentions. If it comes through and says, I want you to know how proud I am of you and how much I love you. Whenever there's words of love attached to the messages that come through, that's a pretty big indicator. And I think that because so many of these mediums take the time to learn their principles, their grounding, their training, their technique, they're inviting and they're setting the intentions to have those spirits come through them. It doesn't work for everybody. And I've talked to mediums that are like, listen, I can't connect with you, Barbara. You and I are not, I'll refund your money. There's nobody coming through for you. And it doesn't mean that you can't be read. It just meant that you guys weren't in sync that day. Sometimes we all have bad days at work. Sometimes a medium is just not there and can't hit that level. But when you see people, and I even had this conversation with April, I'll publish once in a while, hey, I know people are having a rough time. They want to connect. And I'll put up a list of two or three of the mediums I know I've seen do their work, and they blow me away every time. Mm-hmm. Here's how to reach them. Word of mouth and seeing things like that, that's a great way to learn. But again, if you're a Christian, pray and set forth the intention. I want to connect. And truthfully, if you're a Christian, and I'm going to go out on a limb here, I'm a Christian. I'm trying to live the life that I can enjoy with my family and my friends now. And I tell them all the time how much I love them and how much they mean to me, so that I don't need April to help me figure out if that person loves me or forgives me, because I want that to happen in life. So if we all lead good lives and we remind each other, no matter how tough we think we are, that we love one another and we forgive and we forget and we move on, I think you're going to feel better in life all the way around, and you might not even need a medium. But there is no pettiness on the other side, right?
No, I mean, absolutely not.
The ghosts that hang out here choose not to go, so they haven't been cleaned as much. They haven't been filtered, which may be why they're more territorial. Right. So how do we know? We don't always know what their intention is, and sometimes darker spirits do appear as, you know, Isabella, and then something weird starts happening when they start telling you, you don't need a medium, just let me talk in your mind. That's when you start to get worried that there's something bad going on. So just be cautious. And if spirits want, if spirits want to come through you, don't allow it.
Yeah.
Let it, yeah. Let April have the ghosts come through her, so she has to deal with that negative.
Can I tell you a funny story, a reading I just did recently?
Please.
The woman walks in and she looks me up and down. She goes, you're not like Teresa Caputo. And I'm like, no, I'm not.
So did you go in the bathroom and rat your hair up real quick? Yes.
I usually like my big hair, but I said, listen, you know, I said, your husband's coming through. And I said, he keeps showing me something weird about your shoes. So she lifts up her leg and shows me a shoe. And I'm like, it's a normal looking loafer. She goes, they're his. So I said, oh, I said, well, that's great validation. She goes, well, if you can tell me what I did yesterday. And I'm like, you know what? We're done.
Here's one of my favorite stories of mediumship I'd ever seen done. My good friend, Chris Fleming, who I love like a brother. We did this big event in Las Vegas, and this has nothing to do with Holzer Files, but it's just a great medium story. And we did this, they called it a seance. Basically, it was a gallery reading, but we sat at this big table, and there were so many people that wanted to be there that we had to make like two rings of chairs around him. So he's sitting there and he's connecting, and he's like, all right, there's a man here. He's wearing shorts and like a white polo shirt, and he's swinging his arms. So I can't tell if he's a golf pro or a tennis pro. Does this make sense for anybody? And there's like 100 people there. Nobody's speaking up. He goes, now he's showing me like an A-frame house with a glass front. Like the entire front of this house is glass. A tennis or golf pro, A-frame house, glass front.
That's pretty
strange. Nothing. All right, now he's showing me looks like a goose. He's showing me a baby goose growing up, and it's like a pet. It's a pet, and he says the name is Gander. Does this make sense? Nobody responds. And he goes, all right, well, I'm sorry. And he goes, this happens sometimes. And, you know, everybody, the skeptics are starting to raise their eyebrow. And he's like, this could be for somebody else in this casino that, you know, the spirit's just trying to jump in. But you could see the flop sweat and Chris just turning sick. And I felt bad for him. And he goes, I'm going to move on now. And he's talking to the ghost. He goes, no, I have to move on. They're not connecting. There's nobody here that recognizes you. Hand to God. A woman, two people over from me, leans over to her friend and goes, you know, it's really weird. I had an Uncle Bob that died. He was a tennis pro and he had an A-frame house with a glass front. And he gave me a baby goose I named Gander. But I don't know if this message is for me.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God. We all. I was like, what? I go, hey, Chris, I got a question for you. She has an Uncle Bob who had an A-frame house. He was a tennis pro who gave her a goose who grew up to be an adult goose named Gander. Is there any chance that message was for her? And he looks at her and he goes, no.
And
my God, I gotta I love
that. Oh, I love that story. Oh, it was so great. But it's called psychic amnesia, people. If you do meet a psychic and it doesn't feel like it's connecting, take what they tell you, take it home and talk to somebody, because sometimes all of a sudden they tell you, dude, Uncle Bob. You know, and I've heard that happen where they're like, I have a William coming through. I have a William killed in a car wreck. And no. And a few minutes later, he's like, well, I had a brother named Bill that was killed in a car wreck.
Listen, I've done that. I've gone to meetings and I've gotten it. I'm like, I don't know who that is. And I walked out and I'm like, oh, my God. Now I know how my clients feel.
Right. And I do want to bring this point up. Mark says, I'm Jewish and I agree with everything Dave said. Just saying, Mark, you bring up a great point. I don't want to just own that Christianity is the only one that's loving, giving and forgiving. I'm just saying that that's my, you know, if you are a Christian, I was just using that as a base. But, you know, in the religious, in life, whether you believe in God or not, be good, be kind and love one another. Absolutely. And I think you'll have a much better life. You can visit April at intuitiveapril.com. Remember, you can also order the book. It is out and available through Amazon. We'll have a link for it. Barbara DeVitte's book, The Undoing of Walter Woodsworth, is available on Amazon. Damian Bertrand, we know you're out there. We are sending you love and good thoughts. And if all of our listeners can send healing energy, power, white lights, whatever you've got, just send it to them for a quick and steady healing. We'd appreciate that. Ladies, over a year has passed since we met, but I'm thankful for both of you coming into our lives and sharing your stories with us. So thank you for being here with us.
Thank you, Dave.
Thank you for having us.
Barbara, before we leave, is there any element of this story that you'd like to bring to light? Any part of this that you know, was a surprise or the validation you hope to get?
Is there any story I can tell you? Or
no, just is there anything that you'd like to share more about this, or you know, anything, any aha moment for you from this entire moment of kind of coming full circle, going to Hans Holzer and having the Holzer files come back into this case?
It was a fabulous journey. I never, you know, getting a phone call from California that a producer wants to interview me about something I did 30 years previous, that was like the shock of a lifetime. And And that thing with the birthdays, that's what really knocked my socks off, because then I knew this was not just a coincidence. This was meant.
Absolutely.
And directed. And I'm still waiting for more shoes to drop.
Well, hopefully we will be a part of that story in the future. Ladies, I hope we'll see each other soon. Come on out and see me at the New Jersey Para Unity Conference, you two, and we'll have a drink and you'll be my guests at the conference. How about that?
Seriously, Bob, stop.
Seriously, Bob.
All right. Take care, everybody. Stay safe. We will be back again next week with more of the best in paranormal podcasting and paranormal talk radio. I'm Dave Schrader, your host, back at home producing and putting this all together, the one and only Mr. Tim Dennis. I want to say a very special thanks to the cast and crew of the Holzer Files and Shane and Cindy. I miss you guys, love you guys. I know Cindy's out in Turkey right now doing a tour. Shane is working diligently with the Searchers. Go check out his program because he is doing some live events and live video streams of ghost hunts. He'll be on with me next week as we go back and examine one of our all-time favorite cases, the Ocean-Born Mary story. And if you haven't seen it, go back and watch it. It is season 1, episode 7, I believe. And we would love for you guys to check it out again, learn a little bit more, and we'll come back here with more fun and more hijinks next week. So stay safe, everyone. Love one another. Remember, be patient, be kind, and always be brave. We'll talk to you again next week right here on Darkness Radio.
It's Cybersecurity Awareness Month. LifeLock is here with tips to help protect your identity. Use strong passwords, set up multi-factor authentication, report scams, and update your software. And for comprehensive identity protection, LifeLock is your best choice. LifeLock alerts you to suspicious uses of your personal information and fixes identity theft, guaranteed, or your money back. Start your protection today with a 30-day free trial at LifeLock.com. Use promo code NEWS. Terms apply.